The following is an audio booklet from the United Church of God. To view this booklet and other resources online, please visit ucg.org.
Fundamental Beliefs of the United Church of God. God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We believe in one God, the Father, eternally existing, who is a spirit, a personal being of supreme intelligence, knowledge, love, justice, power, and authority. He, through Jesus Christ, is the creator of the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. He is the source of life and the one for whom human life exists. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is the Word and who has eternally existed. We believe that he is the Messiah, the Christ, the divine Son of the living God, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born in human flesh of the Virgin Mary. We believe that it is by him that God created all things, and that without him was not anything made that was made. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of God and of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the power of God and the Spirit of life eternal. The existence of a Creator, God of vast power and intelligence, is so obvious from the universe around us that atheism, disbelief in God, is a denial of reality. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Yet much detail regarding God's attributes requires further revelation. We understand that God is spirit, existing in a different realm from that of human beings, who are flesh. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways and thoughts higher than ours. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9. Our understanding and perception of God, therefore, must be based on God's revelation to mankind through his written word, the Bible or Holy Scriptures. The Bible reveals that God is the sovereign of the universe, existing supremely above all else. God is eternal, unchanging in character, all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present. See Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, and Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Scripture further reveals God as two distinct divine beings, God the Father and Jesus Christ, his Son. The Hebraic form of Jesus Christ is Yeshua, the Messiah. The title Messiah or Christ, literally meaning anointed, is that of the ruler of the lineage of King David, who is prophesied to serve as the chief divine representative in restoring Israel's glory and reigning in righteousness over the world. Both the Old and New Testaments contain references to more than one divine personage, Psalms chapter 110, verse 1, for example, which is quoted in Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through 36. Again, the New Testament identifies them as God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. See 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. The Son is also called God. As Father and Son, the one God is thus the one God family. The distinction between these two beings existing together as God is implicit from the very beginning of Scripture, where the Hebrew word Elohim is used. Elohim is the plural form of the Hebrew word for God, Eloah. There has been communication between these two from the beginning, as seen in the example of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, where the pronouns us and our refer to Elohim. The Old Testament focuses on the God of Israel, who identifies himself as I Am, and the Lord God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. The word Lord here is used in place of the Hebrew word spelled YHWH, which, like I am, apparently denotes eternal and self-inherent existence. In John chapter 8, verse 58, Christ refers to himself as I am. Thus, the one the Israelites knew as God, who delivered them from Egypt and accompanied them in the wilderness, was later known in the New Testament as Jesus Christ. See 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. The existence of the one whom Christ referred to as the Father was not well understood by many before Christ's coming, though he is sometimes specifically referred to in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is called the Word, who was with God in the beginning, and is also identified as God. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. All things were created through him. See Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And he later became flesh and dwelled among human beings. While in the flesh, the divine word was emptied of divine glory and might, being human in the fullest sense, able to be tempted to sin, i.e., disobey God, but never sinning. As a man, Jesus said that his miracle-working power came not from himself, but from God the Father. See John chapter 5, verse 30. The relationship between the Word and the Father is more clearly defined in the New Testament, where Jesus came in the flesh as the Son of God, acted as the Father's spokesman, and revealed the Father to his disciples. The Father gave his only begotten Son in sacrifice as the Lamb of God for the forgiveness of our sins. After that, Jesus was exalted by the Father to the glory they shared before the world existed. The New Testament emphasizes the unity between the Father and Son, yet makes the distinction between the two clear in numerous scriptures. See, for example, John chapter 20, verse 17. As noted above, God created all things through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. As distinct beings, the Father and Son each have a glorious spirit body. See 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. These spirit bodies have form and shape, as Moses saw the form of the Lord, Numbers chapter 12, verse 8. God as spirit is not visible to human beings, unless supernaturally manifested. Yet when God does appear or show himself in vision, he has the appearance of a man, Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26, though brilliant and radiant, being the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, verse 28. Human beings were patterned after the form of God on a physical level, as revealed in the first chapter of Genesis. The relationship between the Father and the Son demonstrates God's perfect and eternal way of life of love, outflowing concern for others. God is the embodiment of love. See 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 16. The Father has always loved the Son, and the Son has always loved the Father. The harmony between the Father and the Son is a singleness of mind and purpose, which Jesus Christ asked the Father to bring about among his disciples, himself, and the Father, in John chapter 17, verses 20 through 23. God, as used in the Bible, can be a reference to either the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, or both, depending on the context of the scriptures. The power that proceeds from God is called the Spirit of God, or the Holy Spirit. It is through this Spirit that God is present everywhere at once. See Psalms chapter 139, verses 7 through 10. The Holy Spirit of God is not identified as a third person in a Trinity, but is presented in Scripture as the power of God, the mind and the very essence and life force of God, through which the Father begets human beings as his spiritual children. The Holy Spirit is given to individuals when they genuinely repent and are baptized. See Acts chapter 2, verse 38. That Spirit is also a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, at the resurrection of the righteous to eternal life at Jesus Christ's return, See 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. This Spirit makes those who receive it the children of God in the family of God, sharing in the divine nature. See Romans chapter 8, verse 16, and 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Human beings are also called Elohim, or gods, in Scripture, in reference to the ultimate purpose for our creation. See Psalms chapter 82, verse 6, quoted in John chapter 10, verses 34 through 36. God is in the process of expanding the divine family beyond the Father and Son. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, refers to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Jesus is called the firstborn among many brethren. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Human beings have the wonderful potential to enter the God family and be transformed into the same kind of beings the Father and Christ now are. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 19, and 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. God wants us to come to know Him so we can have confidence in Him and love Him. He has disclosed much about Himself through the names, titles, and descriptions He revealed to those with whom He worked in past ages. These reveal that God possesses supreme intelligence, power, glory, and wisdom, that He embodies all righteousness, perfection, and truth, that He possesses heaven and earth, that He is immortal and worthy of all praise. God is our provider, healer, shield, defense, counselor, teacher, lawgiver, judge, strength, and salvation. He is faithful, merciful, generous, patient, kind, just, and compassionate. See Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 7. God hears our prayers, enters into a covenant relationship with us, is a refuge in trouble, gives us knowledge, and desires to give us immortality that we might share eternal life with Him in His family and kingdom. Jesus Christ, besides being God the Son and our elder brother in God's family, is also the living, active head of the Church of God. See Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Its chief apostle, and its chief shepherd or pastor. He lives within repentant Christian believers through the Holy Spirit as our personal Savior. Compare Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, John chapter 14, verse 23, and 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. He sits at the right hand of God the Father in heaven as our high priest, intercessor, and advocate. And we await His return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to rule over all nations and serve as supreme judge under the Father. For more details, check out the free booklets. Life's ultimate question: Does God exist? Who is God? Jesus Christ, the real story, and what is your destiny?
Thanks for listening to God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. In the booklet, Fundamental Beliefs of the United Church of God. For the rest of the booklet, please visit ucg.org.